to and fro, mix a circuit of
electricity, electricity.
Voltage is the pressure that makes it go, it's pushing up.
Electricity, electricity.
Continuing our power hour here at Rosie on the House. Do you have any more for us? I like to get buzzed one last. Last intro.
Getting buzzed at Rosie on the House, talking about where your Arizona electricity comes from.
So the point I was trying to make with that, where what comes first, the water or the power? Well, it's not either. I mean, yes, we have the dams and the hydroelectric, but that's 10%. That would nowhere near sustain the entire state.
That's right.
The answer is coal and natural gas. You've got to have combustion somewhere to start the whole process. And the power that feeds Palo Verde is combustion-based, natural gas, coal, because that is where you get your first reaction. Now, you need water and all aspects of it to steam and turn the turbines, but you've got your combustion as your base. And that's why coal and natural gas will never go away, because we need those startups. Now, even if it's just to start up the nuclear power plant, it'll still exist for that.
Well, there's a lot of time and energy spent by Arizona homeowners, particularly trying to beat their summer electric bill. And you would think that because of our summers, we might be one of the higher consuming per capita states in the union, but we're not. We're the 14th most populous state, but
really?
We're ranked 43rd. 43rd in our power consumption. And that's because we have the other 9 months, you know, while they're trying to keep the ice out of the windows in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan, we've got the doors and windows open, you know. So,
and the winters are longer than the summers here.
Absolutely. And we have a fairly small industrial sector. You know, we don't have a big industrial complex
in the state of Arizona, like a big Pittsburgh steel or a big Portland cement or auto manufacturing
or anything like that. So it's the convenience of being able to turn the thermostat wherever you want it, being able to turn the light switch on and off, and it all comes from the reliability of the electricity that is produced by about 10 or 11 utility companies all across the state of Arizona. We're talking about the energy sources, and about a third comes from nuclear, a third comes from coal, and a third comes from natural gas. And then we've got solar and wind and other that make up altogether, added together,
methane and hydro,
the last 10 to 12%. So that's a good variety of supplies. It gives us some insurance redundancies against any one particular supply not being available. So I like that.
Well, and the backups to the backups that they have, and I'm sure most power plants are like this, but when we were at Palo Verde, that's the only one I can speak to as seeing it, the amount of backups they have to the backups is phenomenal. And the supply chain that they have to, okay, if this ever broke down, we've got this amount of time using this alternate source while we repair this to get our main primary source refunctioning, whether it's, oh, the water supply, the power supply, you know, if the power plant that supplies them went down, you know, the generators and the gas that they store on site to run the plant operations, and then the supply that supplies that. I mean,
yeah,
it's a phenomenal
it is
process, and because it exists, we are the 14th most populous state in the union. We have lots of land too. I don't know size wise where we're at, but I think we're even higher than 14th. But on our tour 2 weeks ago now at the Water Resource Department for Palo Verde,
a couple big lakes.
Our tour
guide. It's not like just a tank of water.
No.
It's like two giant lakes.
And they have two water supplies. One that's super purified, that's the steam inside the turbine, because, you know, they don't want any mineral deposits or calcium buildups in the turbines. They say it's so pure, if you drank it, it would dehydrate you because it would suck the minerals out of your body. And
that's being purified from city effluent water.
Yeah.
It can't be done.
The water in the lake is used to cool the nuclear reaction and the chilling towers where the water is, because the very center of that reaction is 2,000 degrees. And by the time it gets out outside of that core, it's down to 500. And they do that with water because it's all underwater where this nuclear reaction is taking place. So how much water are we using to create that electricity out of the nuclear power plant? It took me a little while, and I've got some numbers put together. And one thing that they said on that tour, our tour guide, Jill, the communications director, she said, you know, I spend a lot of time going around to different news sources and answering questions to different reporters, different news agencies, outlets about power and how it's generated, and how to use it and best manage it and maintain your power bills. And she goes, Rosie's the only one that gets it. If they would just go back and listen to that broadcast you had April 27th about supercooling, Rosie gets it and no one else gets it. They get so stuck on the why is my bill and rate going up, and instead of just learning, well, how to utilize that rate.
Just this past week, Arizona Central published two articles stating that APS and SRP customers, over half of them, are on the wrong rate plan.
Which is probably true.
Half of them are on the wrong rate. At the next home show, I'm just going to rent a booth, and I'm going to charge $10 to analyze everybody's power bill, and I'm going to sit there with a calculator and a Zillow computer map, and you can bring me your power bill. I'll Zillow your house, and I'll be able to tell you how to save $200 in the next 2 months if you'll just do what I tell you to do.
And
half the customers are on the wrong plan after we've been touting this for how many decades?
And you're not doing that by selling them something.
That's right.
That the money you're saving them isn't buy this product.
That's right. You don't have to buy
one
thing. It's
not put this in your attic. It's not, upgrade to this new unit.
One free phone call.
All right. So I've got a City of Phoenix water bill here. This month, it was about 40,000 gallons, 39,644 to be exact, of water gallons used. That's probably low for most.
Ooh, I think that's high.
Is that high?
I think that's high.
Oh, you know what? I'm looking at it. Yeah, it is high. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm looking at this year versus last year.
Oh.
Okay. And, yeah, there was a lot more on this property used in May this year over last year. But we'll save that aside. 40,000 gallons was $250. That's 0.006 per gallon, or 60 cents per 100 gallons, to put it into perspective. Pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But you know what Palo Verde's bill is for their water a year?
Their water? They get a water bill?
They get a water bill from the reclamation site.
Okay.
Where all of these city municipalities tunnel their water
okay,
to,
all right,
and tunnels to APS.
Okay, we'll send it to you clean, but you're going to pay for it.
Ten billion gallons is delivered. What would 10 billion gallons cost?
At 60 cents a hundred? I'm not sure. I'm capable of that.
Well,
math.
They've got a little different rate.
Yeah,
it's about $1.3 million is what they spend annually to get the water.
Wow.
The effluent water to run the generation station.
Now, Robbie, once they've gone through all that expense of purifying it to that degree, is there any ability to collect the condensation and reuse it?
No. What they do is they say every drop of water gets used about 15 times through the system.
At Palo Verde?
At Palo Verde. And that's through...
I would say that's pretty efficient.
Very, very. And that's just recycling the water through the chilling towers. And after a certain amount of time and going through the reactive pool, that water is then pumped out to their evaporation ponds. When you see, if you've ever driven by Palo Verde, or if you're on I-10 out in Tonopah, you saw steam coming up, that's not like a coal generating plant where it's the burn off. That's steam from the chilling towers. You don't see anything from a nuclear reaction. It's all inside the containment center. Those steams are just the moisture in the air reacting with the temperature of the chilling towers. So how much water does it then generate? How much water, how many gallons of water does it then take to generate electricity? Depending on the time of year, because evaporation has a big part in this process through the chilling towers, but it averages about 700 to 800 gallons of water to generate a megawatt.
Okay, well, that's a lot of power.
Okay, my house.
That's a lot of power.
This is my bill. I used 220 kilowatts. There's 1,000 megawatts.
Kilowatts.
There's 1,000 kilowatts and 1 megawatt. And breaking that down, that's about 0.8 gallons.
All right, so how much water does APS need to power the Whitman Ranch? You could carry it in two buckets.
We use about 67 kilowatts a day, and that's about 53 gallons of water per day, about 1,600 gallons per month, and that comes out to about 16 cents a gallon of water that's required for the generation of the power.
For your property.
And this is not extracting just the cost of manufacturing electricity. This includes all the other fees on top of it. If you pulled out just my use of on-peak and off-peak electricity, that's $68. There's another $190 in all the other charges that come onto it.
Funding the bureaucracy.
And
taxes, fees, surcharges.
Oh, well, and then the environmental benefits surcharge, the federal transmission cost adjustment, the federal transmission and ancillary services, the LFCR adjuster, the tax adjuster. So when we're looking at these high bills, we've got to pull out really what we're consuming in energy because, and I don't mind paying the distribution charge. It doesn't
got
be
to.
No good
got to.
For them
right.
to generate it at Palo Verde if I can't use it.
That's right.
80 miles away in Whitman.
That's right. Exactly.
You know, those things aren't that big a deal. That's just part of cost of doing business.
So you're saying if you really want to beat the band, you've got to understand your power bill enough to know that there's just some things they're stuck with. You know, they're just told this will be on your bill to the consumers. Harnessing the electricity and manufacturing the electricity definitely depends on a water source of some type, something to get the machine rotating, for sure. Absolutely. More about the enigma, the puzzling mystery of electricity and how it can become so convenient and so easy to take for granted at your house, right here at Rosie on the House.